everybody, and good morning. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal, and I'm here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Captain Lombardi restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to bring you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us on restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcast on iTunes.
Good morning, Mark.
Hey, Francis.
How are you this morning?
Good.
We have Leslie Townsend coming on the show later on. She's the founder of the Manhattan Cocktail Classic.
I know her.
Which is coming up. So we're going to talk about the Manhattan Cocktail Classic. I thought we'd start the show by talking about cocktails, though. Chris.
Classic cocktails?
Well, yeah, in a way. Forgotten classic cocktails. Neglected classic cocktails. Our bartender, Chris, who shuns the spotlight, so I'm not going to use his last name. I don't know why. Brought to my attention, he gave me a book a while back by a guy named Tom Bullock. Mm-hmm. And he was born in Louisville, Kentucky in 1872, son of a slave and a former Union soldier. He started as a bellboy and became a bartender and then worked in railroad club cars. And then he worked at the St. Louis Country Club and the Pendennis Club. And he is just about the only African-American pre-prohibition bartender.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of another one, and I can't.
Book survived. Mm-hmm. And the and it's called The Ideal Bartender by Tom Bullock. And it's pretty cool.
I was going to say, and some really good cocktails in there, too. He was obviously a craftsman and really knew what he was doing.
You know, he was he had received some note politically because some people were trying to I think it was George Walker, you know, grandfather of two presidents later on. I think it was him who was trying to
he would have been great-grandfather of one.
There you go. But he was trying to – he was talking about Teddy Roosevelt, who was claiming to be temperate, and then it came about that Teddy Roosevelt had been at Tom Bullock's bar, and Roosevelt said, well, I only ordered one drink, and I only had a sip of it. And he wrote in the paper that, well, that's ridiculous. No one could possibly only have a sip of one of Tom Bullock's juleps.
Definitely drunk the entire thing.
So that was how he came to national attention. His book is very simple. And some of the ingredients are hard to come by, and a lot of the drinks are not very high in alcohol, but they're delicious, and right. They're deceptively so. I mean, the book was obviously written on a budget. It's just a collection of recipes. But with a little bit of knowledge about how to make cocktails, I'm amazed at some of these cocktails that I looked at, and Chris pointed out, he said, you know, you gotta try some of these. They're delicious. And I looked at them, and I have a pretty good eye for, like, that looks like it's going to be great. And I looked at a bunch of these and thought, I wonder if that's going to work or not.
Well, the other thing is, palates change over time, but certain cocktail recipes just continue on, and you can use them, you know, they're as good now as they were 100 years ago, and they were delicious 100 years ago. And some ingredients change, and if you're a historian, you know which ones have changed.
Yeah,
which ones haven't
true.
Changed that
that's
much.
That's true.
So you just have to – the worst thing that can happen is you make a cocktail you don't like, and then you go make another one.
Right. Or you use it as the basis. Usually there's a good idea there somewhere that you can then riff on and come up with something related. We did two cocktails, two consecutive Fridays. We introduce a new cocktail every Friday. And we write about it. And the two cocktails we used from his book were The Horse Thief and Tom Bullock's version of a Blackthorn cocktail. Mm-hmm. A lot of different folks have come up with cocktails called a Blackthorn cocktail because Blackthorn is what slow berries come from, and so slow gin. Just phenomenal, and I'm going to put them up on the website. I mean, the book is obviously in the public domain at this juncture, but one is the Blackthorn cocktail is slow gin, dry vermouth, simple syrup, lemon juice, and two kinds of bitters, and it's
great.
It's really going on the cocktail menu. People loved it. We almost sold out of slow gin, and Mark's been trying to get me to move that slow gin that I bought on deal. And the Horse Thief was Old Tom Gin, which is a sweeter gin. Sweet vermouth, we used Heyman's Old Tom, and the sweet vermouth we used was Carpano Antica formula, and a drop or two of absinthe. I mean, just a crazy, delicious cocktail.
Good. And for those of you who absinthe may be a little bit too much for, in this drink, it's just all it is an accent, and it's spectacular.
You know, we just started running these. I really sort of discovered it. It was a month after Black History Month.
Right, I know.
And I was like, what a tie-in that would have been. So
now 2 months after, we'll talk about
on the radio, and hopefully we'll remember next year, and we'll run Tom Bullock's cocktails all month. So I recommend it. You can find out more about it. We'll post up those cocktail recipes on our website, restaurantguysradio.com. We'll be back in just a moment to talk with Leslie Townsend about the upcoming Manhattan Cocktail Classic 2012. Stick with us. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys at restaurantguysradio.com. Please download our podcast on iTunes and tell all your friends. Hey there, everybody. Welcome back. It's Mark and Francis, and our guest today, it's that time of year. Our guest today is Leslie Townsend. She is the founder and director of the Manhattan Cocktail Classic right here in Manhattan. It's named for the island, not the drink, but it's a little double entendre there. And she joins us today to talk about the upcoming Manhattan Cocktail Classic, May 11th to the 15th.
Hey, Leslie. Welcome back.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
It's like Christmas for bartenders in New York, right? It's that time of year again. Manhattan Cocktail Classic, what is this, the fourth, third, fourth?
Well, this is our third full five-day festival.
It's your 3.5th.
Our fourth festival in total, though, because we did a little two-day preview festival in 2009.
That preview, as I recall, was the Is This Gonna Work preview festival, and it seems to have worked out pretty well.
You mean the Is This, if we get all the coolest bartenders in the world into Manhattan, do you think people would come and see cool stuff from them?
And turned out that people were interested. So, yeah. For those who've been living under a rock or who have been listening to our show for 11 months and not 12, why don't you tell folks about what the Manhattan Cocktail Classic is all about?
Sure. So, the Manhattan Cocktail Classic is an annual 5-day festival taking place in New York City each May. This year, as you know, May 11th through 15th. It's a decentralized festival with sort of two component parts to it. There's a consumer-facing festival with about 75 events for anyone and everyone to attend. And then this year, there's also a trade conference for, you know, bartenders, writers, spirits owners, beverage managers, et cetera, taking place at the Andaz Fifth Avenue Hotel.
So,
sorry.
No, go ahead. So that's a little different this year than last year. You've made a bit of a distinction.
Yes, exactly. For the past three and some odd years, you know, it's been a little bit of a blur. It's been, well, in more ways than one, I suppose. But no, we've been sort of blurring the boundary a bit between what is for professionals and what is for enthusiasts and consumers. And so this year we're trying to spend a little bit more time and attention on each distinct group, making sure that for beverage industry professionals, that they're coming here for, you know, a certain amount of networking and, you know, business relationships and professional development. And then also that this continues to be a destination event for eager cocktail enthusiasts and cultural connoisseurs and the like.
So let's talk first about the biggest party in cockteildom, especially for consumers.
I now refer to May 11th as the worst day on the planet to get a cocktail in any bar.
Because all the bartenders are at the party. What's up with
it's
the ball?
True.
What's the ball about?
So the gala, the event that has eclipsed the festival. We are once again back at the New York Public Library. It's, you know, it's just the biggest cocktail party in New York. And, you know, it sells out every year. This year it sold out in, I think, 3 hours.
I know two guys who got a ticket, so.
Yeah. It's funny. I have my little Google alert set. So every time someone posts tickets illegally to Craigslist, cracks me up. The ticket price just keeps on getting higher and higher.
So is that
sure
illegal?
We're gonna start seeing.
Is that illegal to scalp tickets?
We just don't. Why am I talking about this? I do not know of any tickets being sold or resold whatsoever.
Yeah, you know, but it's an unfortunate thing. I mean, you know, there are restaurants that are now, you know, when you have something that a lot of people want to get to and you want to make sure that the right people get there, sometimes, you know, and is it unscrupulous? And I happen to think it is. It's unfortunate that some people are going to, in an era of Craigslist when things are easily saleable, they're going to try and insert themselves and make a profit rather than when the organization itself is just trying to get the people who want to go able to go for a set price. So I think that's an unfortunate thing that happens on StubHub or Craigslist with anything where there's more demand than supply.
There's a big difference, I think, between, you know, some of the stuff that's going on with the actual sort of, you know, the sort of third party ticketing, you know, like StubHub and whatnot that are actually just buying all of the tickets and then reselling them. Yeah, fortunately, we haven't gotten quite there yet. This is no LCD sound system last concert at Madison Square Garden, which I was unable to go to.
How many people inhabit the New York Public Library on the night of the gala?
It's 3,600.
So 3,599 of your closest friends come over for a cocktail.
Basically, a cocktail, and I think we have somewhere on the order of 12 different live bands performing, and oysters, and crazy performance artists, and photo booths, and wackiness. It's a really good time.
And the dress I would describe as fancy schmancy.
It's a black tie event. Yeah. We encourage people to play it a little fast and loose with their interpretation of black tie, you know, whether that be a powder blue vintage tuxedo or, you know, a 1980s prom dress. You know, we like people to get a little crazy. A lot of people come in full on costume, which I think is great. But I think at the end of the day, it's an event that's so heavily photographed that, you know, everyone likes to dress up and look nice.
And Leslie, the only costume I own besides my black tie is a gorilla suit.
Not allowed in the gorilla suit.
Wait, no, that wasn't you then last year? That was the guy running around in a gorilla suit. No joke.
No, really?
It was not me, but I do own one.
You know, I have to say, and if you're a guy, you are welcome to wear that powder blue 1980s prom dress. That would also, you're totally allowed in.
Yeah.
Be a lot of fun.
And
it's a bartender-driven event, too, so there'll be lots of mustaches and tattoos. Show off your ink.
Oh, yeah. We're actually, so one of our media partnerships this year with Flavor Pill. So while the gala is sold out, there still are some clever little avenues to get tickets. So all of our media partners, you know, they all have sort of a handful of tickets, and they're doing clever things in terms of how they are, you know, giving or selling them. And so Flavor Pill is actually running a tattoo design contest on Facebook. And so you can submit your tattoo designs, and then the winning – I forget how many, but the winning designs, those people are going to have – first of all, get tickets to the Super Sold Out Gala, but then also going to have their tattoos created as temporary tattoos. And then we're going to have a little temporary tattoo parlor at the gala for people to get their tattoos.
You're so much fun, Leslie. I just can't stand it. So that's the gala, and that's going to be a lot of fun. Let's talk about what's going on, though. This is a serious thing. It's a 4-day event going on. What is there for professionals? What's there for the people in the business, for bartenders, for people in the business?
Sure. So again, this year we're debuting the Industry Invitational, which is a full-on trade conference at the Andaz Fifth Avenue Hotel. And at that, you know, we're really trying to push this in a different direction from some of the other, you know, trade shows and trade festivals. Really trying to model this more after, you know, something like South by Southwest, or even, you know, if I may be so bold, like the TED conference. I'm really trying to make this more about, you know, the exchange of ideas and, you know, coming up with creative solutions to common problems and things of that sort. So, you know, yes, there also are going to be, you know, cocktail demonstrations and tastings and whatnot, but we're also bringing a whole lineup of, you know, short panels and lectures and presentations, technology demos, app demos, that are really about sort of, you know, pushing things forward in this space. Obviously, you know, the category of hospitality, beverage industry, there's so many things that sort of sit at the perimeter, and so we're trying to explore some of those things. So it's not just going to be more, you know, there will be a lot of talking about cocktails and tasting them, but also looking at a lot of the places where this industry intersects many others.
So how does one, if say we're talking to the professional bartenders are listening to me in Chicago and Los Angeles and, you know, South Carolina and mm-hmm. the Greenwich Village, how do they get involved in the professional aspect of it, and how do they become part of the conversation?
Sure. Well, in terms of becoming part of the conversation, we do take a sort of crowdsourcing approach to the programming of not just the trade conference, but to the festival at large. One of the sort of wacky things, the only event that we actually centrally produce is the gala. All of the other 75 events are independently produced by bartenders and bar owners and restaurant owners and brand managers, and you know, lots of different people come to the table with ideas of events that they want to execute, and we help deliver that platform.
So
then turning back to the trade side, once again, we take the same sort of crowdsourcing approach in terms of the, you know, panels and discussions and presentations. We had a whole sort of proposal process that was happening through the fall and put together our lineup for this year. In terms of attending, as the name would imply, it is an invitational. So anyone who is working professionally in the beverage industry can go on the website, ManhattanCocktailClassic.com, go to the industry invitational section, and fill out a trade credential application, and cross their fingers.
It's a little late, though. I mean, a lot of stuff is sold out, is it not?
Oh, well, again, so the events that you're looking at that are sold out are part of the public festival, not the trade conference. So, again, the trade conference is something totally separate from the consumer-facing festival.
So let's talk about...
Yes, so... Huh?
Let's talk about the public section of this, then.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have a lot of different events that the public can go to, and you don't need to be a bartender, you don't need to be in the industry, you just need to be somebody who thinks it's kind of cool, and there's a lot of really interesting events going on over Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday.
Yeah, exactly. So for all of those are all indeed open to one and all. You don't have to be a professional. You don't even have to be a cocktail nerd. You can just be someone looking to go out in New York City during the most beautiful time of year and have a good time. The events really run the gamut from very focused and educational to things that are more decadent and just pure good old entertainment, and everything in between. So again, the gala being sort of the largest scale event of the full 5 days. But then let's see, we're one of the fabulous events happening Monday night is a special spirited performance of Sleep No More at the McKittrick Hotel.
Yeah, that looks great.
Which is sponsored by Bowmore, which is going to be really, truly exciting. If you're one of the four people who hasn't yet heard of Sleep No More, it's something you should definitely, definitely check out. I went to a performance a few months ago, which was not fueled by delicious scotch cocktails, and it was truly one of the most life-changing experiences I've ever had. So couple that with some really good cocktails. I think Dave Wondridge is creating a signature punch for this, and it's going to be a pretty mind-blowing evening.
You know, that brings us to a whole, before we go on, and I want to talk more about some of the things that are available at the Manhattan Cocktail Classic, but that's sort of a new genre of presentation that we're seeing more and more, and I probably first saw it at Tales of the Cocktail down in New Orleans, and then really saw it at Manhattan Cocktail Classic last year. And the idea of giving seminars, we presented at the Manhattan Cocktail Classic the last couple of years. We're not going to be able to this year. And we should point out that the Sunday is of this weekend is Mother's Day. So get your mom a cocktail, get her dancing shoes on, and bring her out to the Cocktail Classic. But one of the things that I find interesting is this, like, seminar. We've seen seminars about cocktails, and then during the seminar, cocktails that they're talking about will be served to. And this was the kind of a professional model of cocktail seminars, and that's kind of gone on into performance. And I think it's really fantastic. I mean, Dale DeGroff is doing a show around the country. He's actually going to do it at our restaurant on April the 29th. So if you can come, please come to see Dale perform. You can find out more about that at stageleft.com. But, you know, he's giving a talk about the, history of cocktails in Western culture. And as he goes through each era, we're going to bring you a cocktail from that era, for three of them anyway. And I love that model of, you know, the drinks are integrated into the rest of the evening. It's fantastic.
Exactly. I think, you know, that is one of the things we, as you pointed out, you know, we are very decidedly stepping away from that sort of seminar model. You know, that was part of the big change this year, and the reason we're establishing this trade conference, which is, again, I feel like for enthusiasts, we want to bring things that are more lively, that are more interactive, that have some other element to them, whether it's, you know, art or performance or music or food or what have you. It can still be an educational experience, but, you know, sort of bringing the educational format to life. And then on the flip side, in a professional setting, you know, doing things that are really more, you know, in a B2B space where, you know, it's not just let's sit down and taste through seven cocktails and we all stagger out and, you know, but really having, you know, of course.
You said that like it was a bad thing.
No, of course not. but, you know, creating a space for, again, really talking about, you know, ideas that, and issues that are facing the industry, and just sort of creating a space for a more professional dialogue in that respect.
Well, the whole classic is a lot of fun every year. Mark and I are going to cover it as the Restaurant Guys, so you should attend the Manhattan Cocktail Classic, and just on the off chance of running into the Restaurant Guys. How great is that?
What a great idea.
Yeah, fantastic. Leslie, thanks for being on the show. The website where people can find out about Manhattan Cocktail Classic is?
www.manhattancocktailclassic.com.
Leslie Townsend is the founder and director of the Manhattan Cocktail Classic. If you're going to get a cocktail anywhere on the island of Manhattan over Mother's Day weekend, where you're going to get it is at an MCC event, because that's where all the bartenders are going to be. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys at restaurantguysradio.com.
Hi, this is Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants and also of The Restaurant Guys Radio Show. You know, one of the best things about the restaurant business is the creative side of it. Coming up with big ideas and then turning those concepts into reality is awesome. It's what I love most about what I do. But it can't stop there. If you can't communicate exactly what it is you're doing, then you'll find yourself standing alone in your dining room, just you and your big ideas. The Mardini Group can help you get your ideas across to others. The Mardini Group is a boutique graphic design firm, and they do extraordinary work. We use them, and as you know, we only use the best. Whether it's menu design, product packaging, a corporate report, promo material, a homepage, or an awesome logo for a brand new project like Catherine Lombardi, we turn to the Mardini Group. Some small business owners don't realize how important it is to have a strong visual identity. Without it, you come across as less than professional. That can cost you trust, and that lowers your bottom line. First impressions count for a lot, and that's why you need the Mardini Group. Go to restaurantguysradio.com and click on the Mardini Group link, or call them at 718-694-9944. The Mardini Group for graphic design, 718-694-9944.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back. Mark and Francis. Manhattan Cocktail Classic is like Christmas time. Totally.
Yeah, it's, it, you know, I'm going to be honest. It's a super busy time at the restaurant. We have a wine dinner the Friday of the Cocktail Classic that we're going to the gala after the wine dinner. It's Mother's Day weekend, Rutgers graduation that weekend, but I'm still going to make time to make sure I get out there.
And if you can't go to the gala, come to our wine dinner at Stage Left Restaurant. You can find out at stageleft.com. So we can talk about that a little bit, right? We can talk about our wine dinner?
Sure, why not?
We never do that. But, you know, that Friday night of the gala, if you can't make the Manhattan Cocktail Classic, we're doing a dinner. I've been trying to make this dinner happen for years. It's a little winery called Stony Hill, who's been making wine since the 70s out in Napa. And they specialize in Chardonnay. The Chardonnay is like the most age-worthy Chardonnay in America.
Well, that's what I was going to say. They don't really specialize in Chardonnay. They specialize in age-worthy Chardonnay.
Yeah, and it's totally not the big oaky monster you're used to. When it's young, it's a little difficult.
You know, the current vintage is 5 years old, and it's all about back vintages. It's all about aging these wines, and we're gonna be showing some wine from the 90s.
I've tasted these wines from the 70s.
It's amazing. They are... Like, I can't believe, I don't understand why their Chardonnays age so well and other American Chardonnays don't. Ask them, but I don't know why right now.
There are no American Chardonnays that age as well as these wines. Not a category known for aging at all, and these wines, I've had them at 20 years old, like a white Burgundy. They're amazing. And frankly, when they're young and released, they're a little hard to see. You've got to know what you're looking for. They're very austere.
And really difficult. One of the reasons that this winery does not have as much notoriety as some other wineries is because when you taste it next to the big oaky Chardonnay, and it was, you know, it was next to a couple of, you know, lighter style wineries, but but just before it, you know, Peter Michael table was before it, the Paul Hobbs table was right before it, and to try and taste the nuance in these wines right after drinking Peter Michael Chardonnay, which is all about power and richness and creaminess, it was very, very different. You know, you really had to see through it.
But then they had the older vintage at the table, and you tasted it, and it blew your mind, right? And they're bringing some older vintages. We're going to bring a 2004 and
a 97, I think.
97, I think. And then we're going to taste the current vintages. And they've got some Riesling and Gewürztraminer and a new Cabernet that's not yet released. If you can come, here I am pitching our own restaurant. Sorry, we don't do this too often, but I really want you to come to this.
Well, go to the Manhattan Cocktail Classic if you can get one of the two, the gala, if you can get one of the two tickets that's still available for that.
And if not, come to this to the Stony Hill Wine Dinner at Stage Left. You can find out more about it at stageleft.com on the events page, or you can just email us mark@restaurantguysradio.com and make a reservation to come in. It'd be a ton of fun, but that's going to be a busy weekend.
Yep, because there's a lot to do.
After the Stony Hill dinner, I'm going to the gala.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going like 11 o'clock, heading into Manhattan. There I'll be. All right, well, thanks for listening to our pitch for our wine dinner. That was really a lot of fun, and I hope you guys have enjoyed this last half an hour as much as we have. I'm Francis Schott.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
We're the Restaurant Guys at restaurantguysradio.com.